Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability. My name is Rafael Cowlip. I'm the host today. And we've also got a new presenter with us, Tarina by Light. Hello, Tarina. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
That's fantastic. And we've actually got two great guests. We are going to be talking with Travellers Aid Victoria. And our two guests are Elias Lebos, who is the CEO of Travellers Aid Australia. How are you doing today, Elias?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well, thanks, Rafael. Pleased to be here.
Great. And we've also got an ambassador of Travellers Aid, Annette. How are you today, Annette?
Very well, thank you, Rafael. Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Both of you are extremely welcome, and we are looking forward to having a chat with you. Now, Elias, what is an interesting fact about Travellers Aid?
Well, there's lots of interesting facts, but I suppose the one that we probably can talk about is we've been around for 110 years, started off in 1916 by the Young Christian Women's Association, who were supporting women and children coming into the major cities of Australia whilst the men were away fighting World War One. So as we probably recall from our history lessons, the longer the war went on, the less men were around to do the traditional men's work, and women were brought in from regional Victoria and rural Victoria to take on those tasks. And so to ensure that women had safe passage, found reasonable and appropriate accommodation and had a place of support, the organisation commenced operating as Travellers Aid Society of Victoria in 1916. And then, obviously, over the years, the organisation has changed and kept adapting to meet the needs of the travelling public. And in the 70s, we started supporting males as well as females. And then in the mid-80s, when the then Kennett government decided to deinstitutionalise living arrangements for people with disabilities, the organisation started to play a significant role in supporting people living with disabilities or experiencing mobility challenges.
There certainly is some very interesting facts there, but let's actually find out what actually is Travellers Aid, because it certainly has changed over the years. What actually does Travellers Aid do?
Yeah, so what we aim to do is to assist people of all abilities to be able to connect, engage and participate in whatever they need to live their life to the fullest within their communities. And we encourage the use of public transport, and we do that so that people can gain a sense of independence and choice about when and where they travel, and utilise the public transport system that we've got in Victoria. It's about really making sure that people, with all abilities, can continue to engage in their communities.
Right, and what type of services does Travellers Aid offer?
So there are numerous services based in numerous locations across the state at the moment, but generally we offer services that help people to connect from point A to point B. So I'll run through a couple of them. So at our stations, station services, and we're based at Flinders Street Station in the CBD. We're also based at Southern Cross Station, and we are now based at Parkville Station in the hospital precinct. We are also located at Geelong, Ballarat and Seymour. And at most of those stations, if not all of them, it's about helping people to, when they arrive at, let's call it the curb of the station, how do they make their way safely into and onto the public transport that they want to take? And at some of those larger stations and the regional stations, we also help people connect between two modes of transport. So some people will be arriving on a train needing to connect to a bus or vice versa, or arriving by train and needing to catch a taxi or an Uber, or someone's waiting for them. We'll facilitate that connection between one mode of transport to another, or from one point of the station to another. We also provide personal care assistance at Flinders Street Station, so that people living with disabilities, if they don't want to take their carer with them into the city, then we will support them by assisting in the toilet if that's what they need, or meal assistance or communication assistance. And that service doesn't need to be booked. They can just arrive at Flinders Street or throw across station, and they can receive that service by our frontline staff. The other sorts of services we provide are at major events. So we also operate at the Australian Open, the Grand Prix, the International Flower and Garden Show, some of the VRC meetings at Flemington Racecourse, and then there is a range of other events that run throughout the year, like the International Film Festival, the Comedy Festival, a whole range of programs that run throughout the year. And in those environments, what we're trying to do is enable people to, A, get to the actual event, and then transition within the event. So the Australian Open is a great example of that, and the International Flower and Garden Show. People might arrive by public transport. We'll pick them up and get them into the facility. If they need a wheelchair, they can borrow or hire a wheelchair, depending on the event holder's arrangements. And then we have what we refer to as roamers, who will help those people get around, the tennis precinct. We'll get them to their seat at an arena, and when the game's over, we will do things in reverse. We might take them to somewhere to get a meal, or they might want to go to another court, or they might want to go home, and take them back to transport. And we use a mix of modes of of devices. It might be a manual wheelchair or a power wheelchair, or a buggy that can move people from one place to another to actually get them into the site. We also run a service at Melbourne Airport, and that is what we refer to curb to counter and carousel to curb. So regardless of how you arrive at the precinct, we can meet you. So you can either pre-book it, or you can ring up as you arrive and let us know where you are. And we will assist you from the point of drop-off to the counter. And from that point on, once you're checked in at the counter, then the airline will take responsibility of the assistance that's required for you all the way through to boarding. And in the reverse, when people arrive into Melbourne, then we either meet them at the international arrival hall, or if it's a domestic flight, then we can meet at the carousel, assist with the baggage, and then get them off to either the Skybus, the taxi, and Uber, or a family member who's waiting for them to pick them up as well. There is one other service that we run in Melbourne itself, and that's a companion service. So that's predominantly designed for regional people who are accessing medical appointments and were not familiar with the public transport system or Melbourne itself, but needed to access essential, you know, services like appointments or legal services. And what we do there is we meet the individual at Southern Cross or Flinders Street Station, and we will pair them up with a volunteer for the day, and that volunteer will escort them to their appointment, either wait for them if it's a short appointment, or come back later on in the day and escort them back to public transport, one of those stations, so that they can make their way home.
I'm going to ask about the disability awareness training initially, and sort of what that encompasses and why it was so important. Speaking with Annette about her experiences working with Travellers Aid, I guess how has that helped you in your life and bringing you a bit more accessibility travelling around the city?
It's actually been fantastic. So I'll just go back a little bit. So I moved over from Tasmania in 2018 because it became very isolated after my children had all left home. And my first point of call virtually was Travellers Aid, so I got some assistance with the public transport. That was one of the big things for me because in Tasmania, there isn't, because it's such a small state, there isn't a lot of public transport. I could just get a bus to the city from where I lived, to Hobart, and then back home again. But as for travelling anywhere else, I was really cut off. And so when I moved to Melbourne, my life had changed so much because two of my adult children had moved over here already, and I was able to be much more independent with the help of Travellers Aid. And just going back to what Elias said, and this will cover your question too, Tarina. When after COVID, after the pandemic was over and we were circulating again, a group of us from Blind Sports and Recreation Victoria went to the Australian Open. So we all met at Flinders Street, the Travellers Aid office. And Travellers Aid were just absolutely fantastic. They walked us to the tram, travelled with us on the tram from Flinders Street Station to the tram. We didn't have to worry about the number or anything, what tram we had to get on. That was all. We were supported all the way to the Australian Open. Then Maria and team, a couple of team members, Elias has already mentioned Maria, and they sat with us, and then Maria actually sat next to me and we were chatting away, and she asked me if I'd like to be involved in the disability awareness training at Travellers Aid, and of course I said yes, and so it started there. I think that might have been 2023 when we were all going back to the, you know, open big community events. So I've been with Travellers Aid all that time, and with the disability awareness training, we effectively do role plays so that participants can get an idea of the challenges faced by people with disabilities. So it may be wheelchair bound, vision loss, lots of other disabilities. So Travellers Aid supply wheelchairs and canes. I'm a cane user. My vision loss, got recognised as pigmentosa, which means I've just got a central core of vision. And so when we do role play, we have one person simulating the disability and the other person doing the guiding. So we teach the participants very basically. You need weeks to teach a person how to use a cane properly, but we do an overview using the cane and simulated glasses, which simulate various eye conditions. And then we have another group that will be in a wheelchair or a mobility scooter. And so we do that through the city. We use three different modes of transport. We walk we start at the Southern Cross station, Travellers Aid at Southern Cross station. We walk to the train platform of the, you know, to where we're going. And we get the train, then we get to another station, and we may take the tram or the bus, or we do it differently. We don't do it the same way every time. And then we do that trip, like we do a round trip. And halfway through, people swap over. So everyone gets a turn of being in a wheelchair, being a guide, or being a person with vision loss. So it's fantastic. And it just gives people, the participants, an idea of how challenging it can be for people with a disability navigating Melbourne City, and it also teaches people empathy. We don't want sympathy, but empathy, just to get that feeling of how it might be. And through that awareness training, it gives people makes people feel more inclusive, and it gives them more confidence to communicate with someone that maybe have a disability, whereas previously a lot of participants have said that they would never go up to a person with a cane or a guide dog and ask them if they needed assistance because they feel like they're encroaching on their space. But, you know, it's, we all like to be asked, even if we know where we're going, but we don't look like we know where we're going. We just really like that. So there are a lot of benefits for, you know, all parties doing the training. Yeah.
And if I can just add, one of the objectives of the training is we provide the training to anyone who wants to do it, basically, but we can also tailor it and cater to the needs of individual groups. So, for example, we've had groups of designers, city planners, transport planners, you know, people who design our rail network, our trains, our trams, etc., etc. And we want those people to consider access and inclusion at the point of designing those systems and those places, rather than waiting till it's all been built and shiny and new and people can't use it because it's not accessible. Now, they're never going to get it 100% right, and this training is not going to, as Annette rightly pointed out, it's not going to make them expert, and it's not going to get them to understand fully what it's like to have a disability or an impairment, you know, permanent or temporary. But what we want people to think about, rather than just listening to someone talking blah, blah, blah at them, and they walk out of that room thinking, oh, geez, that must be hard. We want them to experience the challenges. We want them to experience what it's like to have limited vision, to be trying to navigate a wheelchair or a scooter in a very busy transport hub or on and off a piece of transport or something like that. And we want them to walk away thinking and feeling that was difficult. And what can I do to make a difference when I'm planning the next station, the next type of train, the next tram, the next precinct of whatever it may be? When we're putting on our events, our major events, what considerations should I take to try and ensure that we can be as inclusive and accessible to people of all abilities wherever possible? And so that's one of the drivers for us, because people aren't going to fully understand just by doing a three-hour session what it's like to have a disability, but we just want to give them that little bit of taste so that they can walk away and start thinking with a different perspective.
Yep. Now, Elias, with Travellers Aid, it is celebrating 110 years of running in Victoria. Are there any events happening later this year for the birthday celebrations of Travellers Aid?
Yes, there are a couple of events that we're having as get-togethers, and one each year we run a trivia night, which is a little bit of a fundraiser, but more of a get-together with the people who we work with and our people, our staff and volunteers, etc., etc. And this year we're hoping that it will be a really big event, and we're running it at the Melbourne Convention Centre. You know, the Jeff Shed is referred to. And we're hoping to get a big crowd in that, raise a little bit of money for the organisation, but also celebrate. And anyone can join in that. So if people go to our website, www.travelsaid.org.au, you'll be able to either book a table or book a ticket if you want to, and join in the celebration on that event. It'll be on August the 13th, we'd love people to join us and hear about what we've been doing over the last 10 or so years since we celebrated our 100th anniversary, and hear about what we're going to do moving forward into the future. The other event that we'll be holding, and we're very fortunate that the Governor of Victoria is our patron chief, and she has agreed and offered put on a morning tea for our staff and volunteers, both past and present, and board members and the like, and we will get the current team and the past teams together to reflect and celebrate on what's happened over the last 110 years, but especially those last 10 years. And then for our financial supporters and funders and partners and contractors, we'll put on a little bit more of a corporate event where we will give us an opportunity to thank them for their support, their financial support, and their trust and faith in our organisation, and for the help that they've provided in allowing us and enabling us to grow from an organisation that was at one station and now, you know, is in about 6 or 7 different places around the state. And that will be a little bit more of an intermittent event with a lot less people attending that. But that's the 3 major events. And there'll probably be little smaller events in each of those regional centres where the local community and the local staff and volunteers can celebrate that 110 years. And obviously staff from head office will participate in that as well. So, yeah, that's the sort of stuff we're doing.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there will be other events that may come up during the year too as part of the celebrations, and it's just keeping an eye on the Travellers Aid website to see what does come up, because it's a huge milestone, 110 years. And it's also Disability Pride Month in July, and that's one of the reasons that we've been very privileged to speak with Travellers Aid. Now, we've also had one of the developments in public transport is the addition of the new stations such as Anzac Station, Town Hall Station, the Library RD, and I think it's Parkville Station, correct? Now, I've used public transport for around 50 years. It's my main mode of getting around Melbourne anywhere. I was really pleased to hear that Travellers Aid had that they're trying to get the design more accessible and more inclusive as part of the design to begin with than as an afterthought. What were some of the ways that Travellers Aid contributed to actually having some input into the station, Elias?
So there's a couple of ways. Throughout the building of the Metro Tunnel, our operations manager, Maria Groner, participated and sat on the community reference group that was continually involved in the part of the planning in the early stages. But as things were evolving and things were being built out and so forth, that the group was constantly being consulted about those sorts of changes and those sorts of, if challenges had arisen, the group was providing input into either, you know, minor resolutions of some of those problems that they could contribute to, and just keeping an eye on all the different things. And it wasn't just access and inclusion. Some of it was around, traffic flow of foot traffic and people, and how do people connect from one part of a station to the other, and all those sorts of things. So it's been, nearly a 9-year journey, basically, and had participation all that time. And then as we got closer to the station's opening, the government and Metro Trains put on some working groups around different stations, but also focusing on different personas of people who, and individuals obviously, who would be likely to use the station and the trains and the network itself. And we would just workshop some of those challenges and put forward some suggestions of how those journeys could be either more seamless or more comfortable, or whatever it is that was being put before us. So a whole range of different people were in the room, members of the public, members of reference groups, ourselves as Travellers Aid, the train operators and providers, and the organisations that were managing the stations as well, and people who were building and still continuing the planning. And then finally, we had some input into what we thought was a necessary service to be placed at Parkville Station. And we're very, very grateful for the state government to back our view on that and come to the party with the funds to run a multiple-year pilot around Parkville to determine the need and what the future of a service like that in that precinct would look like. So from our perspective, we're very conscious of the fact that people travelling to and from medical appointments struggle at the best of times. They're going into a place where they're either going to get some bad news or they're visiting someone that has experienced something that's not, you know, enjoyable and not favourable, basically, to their health and their well-being. And, you know, people struggle getting there and struggle getting out of there. And we wanted to be one of those warm, friendly faces that we could help people, not just at the station, but make their way to the hospital. So whether it was, you know, Peter Mac, the Women's Hospital, or Royal Melbourne, that there was someone who can just give a little bit of a helping hand, a bit of a guidance, and provide support there. So in that whole metro system and those new stations, that's the sort of input we've had.
Well, Lisette, thank you very much for your time. We've been talking with Elias Lebos, who is the CEO of Travellers Aid Victoria, and with Annette, who is one of the ambassadors for Travellers Aid Victoria. Thank you very much for joining us on The Boldness tonight.
Thank you so much, Rafael and Tarina.
Thanks, Rafael and Tarina. Thank you.